Do we care?
Do you care about the people not here? Does anybody?
They're late.
Exactly. They should suffer the penalties. Who has paper? Excellent. Take out a sheet of paper. I'm giving you a quiz. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Who are you?
Ernest Vergula.
Oh, you are here as well. 8 for 8. Excellent.
Take out a piece of paper. I'm giving a quiz.
Are we all ready?
How hard is this quiz gonna be? Wicked hard. You're either gonna write a T or an F for the 12 questions that I'm gonna pose to you.
And by the way, when we go over the syllabus, as you will see, if I give you a quiz, it's not punitive. It's only for extra credit.
But I like using quizzes just as a snapshot, just to see who is doing what they're supposed to do. And that's coming to class prepared every day.
But this one is aimed at testing your baseline knowledge, because I don't know what you know. So here we go. Question number one.
True or false? Religious symbols on town commons violates the separation of church and state.
True or false? Religious symbols on town commons violates the separation of church and state. Morning. Hurry up, we're taking a quiz. Obviously, we haven't gotten that far. Oh, you too. Hurry up. We're taking a quiz. Take out a piece of paper.
All right.
Who are you?
I'm Zachary Adams.
You're supposed to be here as well. And who are you, young man? You're supposed to be here as well. Nice. We're on a roll.
It's always important, you know, in math class. There's no math class. Piece of paper. You got a piece of paper?
Yes.
You got a piece of paper, sir?
Yes.
Excellent. Oh, by the way, make sure you spell your names correctly. If you screw that up, then. Whew. So, question one, and you guys, you can catch up, because we haven't gotten that far, obviously. Religious symbols on town commons violates the separation of church and state. True or false? Question number two. Broadcasting boobs, breasts, tatas, whatever word you want to use, on ABC Channel 5 at noontime is the equivalent of freedom of speech. True or false?
Broadcasting boobs on ABC Channel 5 at noontime is freedom of speech. True or false? Ooh, here's a good one. Question number three.
Students can be stopped from forming a local chapter of the Nazi Party at Quinsigamond Community College because the Nazis are a hate group. True or false?
Students can be stopped from forming a local chapter of the Nazi Party at Quinsigamond Community College because Nazis are haters. True or false? Question number four.
Homosexuals cannot be banned from marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade
because it's homophobia.
True or false? Homosexuals cannot be banned from marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade.
It's homophobia. True or false? Question number five.
The government can stop law-abiding citizens, citizens, or a law-abiding citizen. All right, no, I did that right. From owning an AR-15.
The government can stop a law-abiding citizen from owning an AR-15. True or false? Here's one for all my criminal justice majors out there. If your car is stopped for a broken taillight and the officer searches your car for no reason, it violates your right to be protected from search and seizures.
If your car is stopped for a broken taillight and the officer searches your car for no reason, it violates your right to be protected from search and seizures. True or false?
Moving forward. Ooh, that was a weird animation.
If, when stopped, you admit that you are drunk when an officer asked for a license and registration, that is an admission of guilt, and you will be sentenced based on said admission.
True or false? Man, you get pulled over a broken taillight, your car gets searched, and then you just go, oh, I'm drunk! Number eight.
An American arrested in the country of France can have an American lawyer appointed for them, and the case will be extradited and held in a U.S. federal district court.
So you're arrested in France for breaking French law. You'll get an American lawyer, and you'll have your trial here. True or false?
Nine. Your roommate steals your iPhone. I love steam radiators. And brings it home to New York. But no one believes you, even though you can prove it. Then, because he's gone out of state, you're out of luck. Can't do anything about it.
True or false? Ten. True or false? Government using the death penalty is cruel and unusual punishment. And it should be made illegal. True or false?
Isn't that just our own opinion?
The first half is fact-based, because you should only form your opinions based on facts. FYI, I'm a lawyer. All right. Number 11. In light of Homeland Security, the government can seize control of all U.S. ports.
Literally, take the land, take the water, take the buildings, take the docks, take the cranes, whatever. The government can take it all over.
Yes?
That's non-federal land?
No.
Right.
Just land in general. The U.S. government's going to take it. Make it government land. Good question. I like that. And last but not least, 12. The national government has the constitutional authority to make abortions either legal or illegal. Are we good?
Sir.
All right. Switch your papers. Give them to somebody else. When you receive that person's paper, write your name down on the bottom. Obviously, make sure you spell your name legibly and correctly.
Yeah, so on your quiz, your name should be on top. The paper who you're grading should be down on the bottom. Are we good? All right. Religious symbols on town commons violates the separation of church and state. Is that true or false? How many people think it's true? How many people think it's false? Why? Why true? No. This young man right here. What's your name again?
Ernest.
Ernest said that he thought it was true. Why is it true? By the way, I should say, for those of you who came late, I told the people here, quizzes don't count. They're not punitive. All it is for extra credit. So if you get a zero on it, it's not going to negatively affect you, so don't worry about it. Just curious. Why do you think? Don't be afraid. Share your opinion.
I don't know. Sounds like it does violate something.
Okay, so we should not have crosses or Stars of David or stuff like that on town commons. All right, that's fine. Why no? Most of you put your hands up and said, no, that's false. Why?
Just notice there's usually a church in the center of most towns.
Okay. But where if there is a church in the center of the town, is that on the town common if they put a display up in the churchyard? Okay. So you're basically saying that's okay.
So I come from the ghetto, right? And it seems that there's a church on every corner or every block. And I see even places that aren't close to a church per se, but on the same street or 100 feet away, whatever you want to say, what have you, will have, you know, a cross or a tribute of something for some part, kind of keeping it connected in a rough place of the world.
So it's a way of bringing the community together.
Yeah, and instead of separating it apart, I believe, yeah.
Okay.
Through symbolism.
Gotcha. Anyone else?
I mean, I think that it's kind of phrased subjectively. I don't think that there's a law that's enshrined anywhere that says you cannot have a cross, for example, on a town common. I personally don't think there's an issue with it. It's totally fine and acceptable. But if you're asking about law, I don't think that there's a law that says such.
All right, question. Is there such thing legally, statutorily, constitutionally, as separation of church and state?
No. It was in a letter by Franklin, wasn't it?
No, Jefferson.
Jefferson.
There is no such thing as separation of church and state. What the First Amendment says for religion is that Congress, as in the federal government, cannot establish a national church, an institution. So it has nothing to do with Christianity or Judaism or Islam. It's nothing to do with the theology, but it's the institution, the church. They cannot make a church of the United States.
Right.
And they also cannot stop people from freely expressing your religion. So if you are religious, you can have freedom of conscience to believe in those morals and ethics that are important to you and the group that you associate with. And by the way, if you are an atheist, that's a religion, because religion is nothing but a philosophy. And the government can't stop you from being an atheist either. All right. Boobs on TV. I just like saying boobs. It puts a smile on my face. Why? I may be 53, but mindset, I'm still a 12-year-old boy. Can the government, the federal government, punish ABC for putting boobs on TV at noontime? Or do they have the freedom to broadcast whatever they want? And I'm not talking like Showtime or HBO Max. The broadcast networks.
I believe it's not allowed, no.
It's not allowed. Exactly. Why?
Well, it's obscenity laws.
Obscenity laws. Exactly. And does ABC have a right to broadcast?
Not that.
No. No, they don't have a right to broadcast, period. What do they have to do to broadcast?
Get a license.
They have to get a license. And do you have a right to get a license?
No. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Yeah, exactly. So yes, the government can actually tell the broadcast channels what they can air and what they cannot. That's not freedom of speech. Students can be stopped from forming a local chapter of the Nazi Party. Those Nazis, so hateful. Can the college do that?
Yes.
Yes, because the college is a private facility and they can decide whether they want it here or not.
Okay, so I'm going to put it up to a subject opinion poll. Is the college, Quinn Sigman Community College, actually a private institution?
No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's a public institution. It's government run. Can the government stop you from freely associating?
Yes.
They can?
Yes.
Really?
But you know, the protesters, they can.
Says who? Can they stop you from, I didn't say burning crosses, terrorizing people. I just said you got to form a group. Can the government stop you from forming an Antifa group or Black Lives Matter group or any other group that's out there? No, if you want to be a Nazi, have at it. I'm not going to respect you. I'm probably not going to want to talk to you. I'm not really into Nazis, but that's just me. But if that's what you're into, the college cannot stop you. First Amendment. That's called the Free Association Clause.
Oh, kind of along the same lines. Can a group ban homosexuals from participating in a parade? Or do they have to allow them in?
What group?
The group that's running the parade.
I guess it would either thing.
Depends on what? That's a good lawyerly answer, by the way. When in doubt, always say it depends. Okay. So it depends on what?
Like what are the guidelines for the group that's like making the parade? Like they might be like, oh, maybe we can't have that on our part. Like, I guess parade.
So if the group wants to allow homosexuals to participate, they can. But if the group does not?
It depends.
Well, what's the difference? You just said if the group wants to allow them in, and it's in their rules to allow them in, they can participate. What if it's in the reverse?
Then they participate.
What?
Then they participate, I guess.
Well, why would they have a parade if the people that are parading can't participate? Doesn't make sense.
Well, hold on a second. Maybe it's a bunch of people who are Irish, and they want to celebrate leprechauns. But they want to say a certain group of people can't participate.
Yeah, they can do that.
Can they do that?
Yes, they can.
100%. 100%.
There was a case handled by the Supreme Court, the Boy Scouts of America v. Dale, which got handed down in 2000. And the Supreme Court acknowledged that inherent in the right of association contains within it the right to have the freedom of unwanted association. So if you make a private group, you can tell people they can't join for whatever reason you want. And that is constitutional. Government can stop a law-abiding citizen from owning an AR-15. Why not? It's scary. It's an assault rifle.
It's an illegal gun.
What?
Is it illegal gun?
It's
right? Or is it
AK-47?
No.
AK-47 is not illegal.
No.
The right to bear arms stops.
it's fully automatic, it's a gray area because of the NFA.
Hold on a second, we got something to talk about. Go ahead, keep on.
The right to bear arms stops the government.
Okay, so the right to keep and bear arms stops the government from interfering with your right of possession. And by the way, did I say this was going to be used by a gangbanger or the mob or something like that for criminal activity?
Law-abiding citizen.
This is just you wanting to get one to protect your house, your family, your loved ones. You have a right to do that.
Yes.
Absolutely. What were you saying?
I was just saying, because the NFA, there's a gray area if it has a fully automatic setting.
Yeah, so if you do get a fully automatic rifle, and by the way, an AR-15 is not fully automatic. It is semi-automatic. One trigger, one round. You can't pull it and go blah, 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 blah. If you want to get a fully licensed, a fully automatic rifle, you can do so. You just have to get a federal license, and it's expensive. But you have a right to do that as well. And once you get that license, you can collect fully automatic weapons. By the way, Supreme Court also reaffirmed this not too long ago in D.C. versus Heeler, in which the Supreme Court said that no government has a right to stop the population from defending themselves lawfully in their persons and their homes, and doing so with the most popular weapon that's out there. Because the thing about the AR is it shoots, relatively speaking, little bullets. They're light. And even the smallest of women, you're the smallest person lady in the class, you could handle it with no problem. It's not like the big World War II half-wooden big steel guns. So because of its ease of use and because of its popularity, the government cannot interfere. All right. Broken taillight searches your car. You got a Fourth Amendment violation here?
Yeah, because
you
need a warrant to search a car.
Well, hold on. Do you need a warrant to search a car?
No.
What does the cop need?
Probable cause.
Which is what? What's probable cause?
Smelling weed or something.
Seeing something. Reasonable suspicion. So, yeah, if the cop has you roll down the window, and the cop can get a smell of something that you should not be doing when you're driving, that's all it takes. Or maybe, unbeknownst to you, your vehicle matches the make and model of a car involved in a criminal activity. So the cop is stopping just to see if you did it. And last but not least, you have a right to own a car, but you don't have a right to drive. Driving is a privilege. Now here's the lawyer in me. Searching your car does not allow the cop to go through any closed bags or any locked areas. Now, there aren't too many cars these days that have a lockable trunk. Back when I was a kid, one of the first cars I had a trunk. And unlike the modern cars where it's kind of like a hatchback bubble, or even if you get a sedan, you can hit a button on the seat and fold the seat down, cop can do that and look it in there. But if you have an old car that you cannot pull the seats down and the trunk is a separate compartment, the cop cannot search it without a warrant. Same thing if you have a bag. Now, the cop can ask you, would you mind opening that up? And if you do so, you are basically giving your consent. But you also have a right to say no. But be warned. You do have a right to say no, but that could lead to, I'm not going to say more consequences, because if you're not doing anything, you don't have to comply. But you may be there for a while, and it may result in situations that are less than a good thing to get involved in. So when in doubt, if you've done nothing wrong, comply. Then call a lawyer. But don't stand up to the cop.
Because remember, that man or woman, they're just doing their job. And some of you are criminal justice majors, and that could be you in a couple of years. All right. Admission of intoxication. Are you going to jail? The cop's saying licenses and registration, and you don't get the license and registration. You just blur out, ah, shit-faced. Going to jail. They're going to use that as evidence against you.
Yeah.
Really? How many people think so? Why?
Because he probably thinks he's drinking and driving. Well, the officer thinks that since he told him he's drunk.
He pulled you over for a broken taillight. I didn't say he pulled you over for sweeping, werving. I know, you just blurted it out. What is missing?
Miranda.
Oh. Anything you say to the cop before you are Mirandarized is inadmissible. So you tell the cop you're drunk. They have a right to detain you, but they can't present that in a court of law. They can't do it. Now, once the cop Mirandarizes you, and anything you say, that will be used against you. But before so, nope. Inadmissible. Inadmissible. All right. You commit a crime in another country, are you getting an American lawyer and having a trial in an American court?
It's actually a question about the one before it.
Oh, this one, yes.
So for like DUIs and stuff, officers usually, before they read the Miranda rights, they do the like DUI testing, like the breathalyzer and stuff, and then the Miranda rights.
What they're doing is they're gathering evidence. 100%. They're allowed to do that. They're making their case. But that's not the same as saying, I'm drunk. All right. Crime in another country, are you getting an American lawyer having the trial in an American court? Why not? Well, the Sixth Amendment, don't we have a right to an attorney?
Different laws. Different country.
Oh, different country, yeah. Yeah, I hate to break it to you. If you go to a foreign country and you commit a crime in that country, you're going to get one of their lawyers, and you're going to have that tried in there. Because what you committed might not be illegal in the United States. Oh, what the heck was her name? Brittany Gaynor, right? Wasn't her name? The WNBA basketball player?
Yeah, Brittany Griner.
Yeah. What's her name?
Brittany Griner.
Yeah, she got arrested in Russia for having a vape pen that had THC in it. That's illegal in Russia, but it's illegal here.
Then we traded an international arms dealer together.
Yeah, that's Paul. We won't go down that route. That was just worst deal ever. All right. Stolen property going over state lines. You out of luck? Why not? Why not? Okay. Where did the crime take place?
Doesn't say.
Yeah. Well, we're going to assume it's here.
Yeah.
Well, we'll say now. It could be any state other than New York. Do you think those states have laws on the books that deal with stolen property?
Yes.
So if you can prove it, what would stop you from going and filing a claim in that court? Now, by the way, procedurally, Massachusetts could not extradite that person on stolen property. No. Why are you going to go all the way to New York? That's dumb, and file a claim. That's an inconvenience to you. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to go to a Massachusetts court. You're going to file a claim. The person's not going to show up. You're going to get what's called a default judgment. And then, because we are a union of sovereign states, you will take that win that you get in a Massachusetts court, and you will go file it in New York, and New York will enforce it. That comes from the Seventh Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Seventh Amendment. Civil suits. You have a right to sue somebody. even if they're residents of other states, for any damage in excess of $25.
Death penalty. Is the death penalty, in fact, cruel and unusual punishment? No, it's not. No, it's not. By definition, what cruel and unusual punishment is any punishment that stems from a loss of due process of law. So if the government was to show up at your house and guillotine you, gas you to death, shoot you, hang you, whatever, that would constitute cruel and unusual punishment. But if you go to court and you are convicted unanimously by a jury of your peers, and that particular jurisdiction has death penalty as a punishment, it can be used.
What are the charges?
Just the easiest way is like murder one, acts of terrorism, things like that. Now, I put this in, and I know you tried catching me on it, and that was very good. I like that. I admire that. Should you have opinions based on untruths? I mean, you have a right to do so, but is that opinion valid?
No.
All right.
Homeland Security, can the government steal property?
Yes.
Really?
No. Unless if it's federal.
Well, no. It's just any property. Can the federal government take your house?
Yeah.
Take your business?
I mean, they can...
Wait, hold on. Why yes?
Because the government owns the land that you're living on.
No, they don't.
The government owns the land.
No, it does not. You own your land. Do you have a house?
No.
You live in an apartment? Does your landlord own the house? Can the government take your landlord's house?
It depends. Can he afford it, what they're doing or not, you know? Can he afford what their demands or not? Can he meet the government's demands or not?
What demands?
As far as, like, you know, the housing demands. Like,
do you have a right to own property in this country?
Yes.
Can the government take it? You put your hand up. Give me a second.
Yeah. Well, I know they can, but don't they do that in Rome?
They didn't take the homes or the businesses. They relocated Japanese people and put them in camps for their own safety.
Were they able to get their houses back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And by the way, the Supreme Court in the 1950s, I can't remember the exact case, said that that was unconstitutional. The government did not have a right to round all those people up and put them in camps.
What came of that? Like, because what you just said, that they didn't have the right to do that, but they did it. What came of it? Any punishment? Or just, whatever?
It was kind of like whatever. They all went back to their homes, but any type of implications of criminality, their records were expunged. Okay, you are 100% against the idea of government taking your property.
Yes.
Why?
Because they legally can't do that, because it's a whole process. If you own a house, but you can't pay for it, then it goes into, like repossession from, like, the bank, if you're buying it from the bank.
Okay. All right.
I got you on kind of a thing that's a little more complicated. You're right. Who actually owns all the ports? Who owns the real estate that make up every single port in this country? Are they privately owned? Who has first crack at all land in this country?
Government.
Which government?
The United States government.
No.
Federal?
No. No.
A state government.
State government. Boston Harbor is owned by Massachusetts. And the national government cannot come in and take the land of Massachusetts. Just like the government cannot come in and take your land either.
Without
due process of law. They can send you an offer in the mail. Hey, look, we're going to buy the land. But it has to be for public use. So if the government wants to buy your property, to build a school, to build a highway, the government has a right to send you an offer. But do you have to accept it? No. Why do you think the S-curve is where the Rotman's building is in Holy Cross? That's on 290. Stupidest design ever. Oh, let's just put this big curve in the middle of a highway. The reason why that exists is when they built the highway, the factory that was once Rotman's and Holy Cross were already there. And neither were willing to sell their land to the government. So what did the government have to do? Build more. Last but not least. Like the way I did this? I did it either way. Does the United States government have a right to do anything with abortion?
Yes, because it's not in the amendment.
What do you mean?
It's not in the
amendments. Okay, so it's not in the amendments. Is it elsewhere in the Constitution?
It's not.
That says the United States government has a right to do anything health-related? No, so then how can the government decide either way, whether it's legal or not? It's up to the states. Absolutely. So Roe v. Wade, one of the worst, constitutionally speaking, let me phrase that. Constitutionally speaking, Roe v. Wade was one of the most egregious decisions ever made. And even really, really ardent liberals, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, wrote papers saying as such. Because what the court did when that ruling came down is they disregarded separation of powers. You know, we have a federalist system. There are things the federal government's supposed to do. And those things are articulated in the Constitution. But if it's not in the Constitution, it's to be left to the states.
That's the 10th Amendment, by the way, that says that also. So yes, as controversial as it was, when the Supreme Court came down with the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization decision and basically overturned Roe v. Wade, they didn't say abortions are illegal. I know that's what the media was trying to spin it as, but if you actually take the time to read the decision, what the majority said is, we don't have the authority as the United States government to decide either way. That's to be left to the states. And so, what has happened since? The Constitution has been followed. Some states have legalized it up to the point of birth, like Massachusetts. Some states have restricted it. The heartbeat bill. I think it's Florida that has the most stringent restrictions. But they have a right to do it. But the U.S. government does not. So, by the way, if President Trump ever was to come forward and say we're going to ban abortions, he can't do that. He can say it all he wants, but the government can't do anything about it. All right. So give the papers back to the people. And by the way, you notice something I did to you? All false. What I tried, oh, you missed the quiz. But that's all right, because like I said, quizzes are not punitive. So you didn't lose any points. Well, you didn't suffer any penalties, I should say. There'll be more quizzes. All right, how many people got more than half right? Okay, some of you, about a third of the class. All right. All right, good. Well, you know something? The whole thing that I'm going to do to you this semester, and it's going to hurt some of your brains, is I'm going to try to dislodge a lot of the inaccuracies, fallacies, untruisms that you have been exposed to in your educational career. The problem that you have suffered is that people have a tendency to advocate for their beliefs. So they're going to tell you their truths. That's exactly why I did number 10. The problem is your own individual truths may not be the truth. So what we're going to try doing in here is we're going to try focusing on just the truth. And then, once we get the truth down, then you're free to make your own opinions. Because by the way, politics is nothing but personal opinion. And politically speaking, no one is wrong, politically speaking, in their politics.
unless they're just outright telling fallacies. That's the only way you can be wrong. So we want to make sure you do well. Oh, before I forget, pass the papers forward because I will give you the extra credit. And let me see, who are you, young lady, who came in very, very last?
Allison.
Allison, you're supposed to be here as well. Is Joshua here? No. Is Chime or Chime? All right, good. Good, almost everyone's here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Got them all?
All right, so seeing how I know y'all have papers, let's shut that down. Let's go back to here. So, obviously, I don't know, what's the new Blackboard called that you get access to Q?
Ultra.
Ultra. I haven't uploaded anything into Ultra yet because as of last week, there were only 6 people registered in the class, at least that I could see. So if it would have been less than 8, the class wouldn't have run. So I'll be honest, I'm a human being, and I just kind of said, well, why am I going to go do all the work if I don't have to do the work? But as it turns out, luckily we have a class, so that's good. But even though there is nothing in Ultra, no worries. I have it all up online anyways. I have my own website, Proflimanek. Got real original with that name, Proflimanek. Wow, that's, by the way, that's me. And what I do on this portal is I give you all the tools that you're going to need to be successful in this class. I'll be honest with you. For some of you, this may be a tough class. Civics is hard. It's not easy. But I do provide enough tools that should help you, at a minimum, pass the class. And then obviously, grades are directly linked in proportion to the effort you put in. The more you do, the better you'll do, and so forth. All right, so this is a WordPress site. It's very simple, black and white. I do this because back when I made it years and years ago, before even the college had a website, there were people that had different platforms and there were always errors that some of the stuff in HTML worked on some devices, but not others. So I just went, screw it. Very simple, straightforward, basic HTML, literally black and white. So none of you should have any issues accessing this stuff. Now, as you can see, when you will go back and you will take some time and you'll go through and see what's on here, you'll quickly notice that I don't only teach here, but I also teach up at Anna Maria College. I got 3 classes up here, 1 here. So we'll have to always look for references where it says QCC, because that obviously applies to you. And you can see right on the first page, I give you a nice little calendar. I went through the academic calendar, and these are the dates that are important to us. I didn't give you the Tuesday, Thursday stuff. No offense, I don't care what you do on Tuesday, Thursday. I don't see you on Tuesday, Thursday. But I do care what you do on Monday, Wednesdays. So, Monday, obviously this is today. I tell you when the add drop period ends, when the withdrawal period begins, when, topics are due for papers, I'll talk about that. It looks like we have President's Day off. That's Monday, February 17th. We have very late spring break this semester. Oh my God, the end of March. It's because we started late. Last day to withdraw the W. We got another holiday off, Patriots Day. When your papers due, and then of course the last day of classes, and when your final exam is. So everything is there, and if something comes up, I will update it, but I'm pretty sure I got everything. All right, tool number one. Tool number two, we'll go here. I am recording. I record every single class. And I do so for selfish reasons. Not too long ago, I, stupid me, college professor, dad, baseball coach, decided I got nothing else going on, so why don't I go to law school? So I was working all day, and then I decided to go to law school at night. And the law school I went to was an hour away. So I do my classes, I go home, see my kids, do dinner, help with their homework, they get in my car and drive an hour. Then I would sit in class from 6 p.m. sometimes till 11 o'clock at night. And then I'd get in a car and I'd drive home. And needless to say, by around 8 o'clock on most nights, my brain was as jellyish as it could get. You could have called me by my name and I might have just given you a dumbass stare. I was fried. It was a lot. But I realized something. My attention span in the moment could be checked and assisted by having the ability to hit rewind. So I started going through and I asked every individual professor, because by the way, under Massachusetts law, it's illegal to record somebody without their knowledge. So I asked all my professors and some said yes and some said no. So, you know, I adhered to that. But then, as a teacher myself, I said, well, it's so good for me, maybe it will help other students out. So I recorded all. Now, by the way, just so you're all aware, I started at the beginning of the class, I shut it off at the end. I will edit it, though, and I reserve the right to edit it if anything bad happens in class. Because particularly when you start talking about politics, people have passions, and they get excited. And I've had instances where students start screaming at one another and using inappropriate language, and I didn't want to have that come back and hurt them. I dealt with it in the moment, but I chopped those out. So I will do that. I will protect you if anything does arrive. But again, it's very, very rare that it happens because we are all adults and we're all going to be respectful of one another's opinions. So if you voted for Kamala, cool. If you voted for Trump, cool. There we go. It's easy as that.
All right. So the lectures will be posted. Typically, I do it once a week, typically on Friday, and it will be down for you guys down on the bottom.
And as you can see from my Anna Maria class, I posted by the date. So what you do is you zoom in and you just kick the link and it would open up. It's an MP3. Again, it's a file type that most phones can use. And you can sit there and you can listen to it all. You can listen to portions of it, whatever you want. But now here's the catch. You have no excuse ever of not knowing what we cover in class, because it's all there. So if you get stuck in traffic and you come in late, you can go and you can listen and you can catch what you missed. Or if you're absent, you can get what you missed. And by the way, for me, it was awesome, because I'd sometimes hit rewind, because I had professors that talk faster than I do when I get excited. And by the way, just to warn you, I get really excited about this stuff. I'm a wicked nerd in that regard. But be warned, there's my legalist blurb. So don't access until you read. And you can read that on your own. All right. So that's tool number one. Tool number two is right down here, is PSC 201, United States Government. And essentially what I have on here is what you will eventually see in Ultra. I give you how you can contact me. I give you two email addresses. The colleges and my own personal. I give you a book. You don't have to buy a book for this class. I found a good book. Is it the greatest book? No, but it's free, so that works for me. OpenStax has an open source book. I uploaded the most recent edition, third edition, and you can access it here, and you either can download the PDF file, or you can just access it on the web, whatever's easier for you. But of course, be warned, it is a PDF file. So if you're going to start reading chapter 5, you're going to scroll through the big PDF to get to it. It's like 700 pages long. If you would rather a physical copy or a digital copy, I did provide you the ISBNs. Don't know if the hard copy is available on Amazon, but it might be. So if you'd rather have a physical book, you can do it. And they're not that expensive. I think they're like $30. All right. Questions on those two things? Oh, before I forget, if I say something and I lose you, do me a huge favor. Raise your hands. If I don't hear from you at any given moment, I'm assuming that you are 100% on board with me. But if I start losing you, don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Raise your hand and say, could you say that again? Could you slow down? Help? I'm lost. Whatever. I will do whatever I can to help you be successful in this class. Promise. All right. Assignments. There are only 5 things you need to do. I will give you quizzes, I may give you extra credit assignments, but all that stuff, that's optional. At a minimum, there are 5 things you need to do for me. 4 exams and 1 paper. The exams are straightforward, mostly multiple choice. They will be through Ultra. I'll give you time equal to the class to do it. They're not that long, 35, 40 questions tops. They cover whatever it is we were talking about in a couple of classes before. None of the exams are cumulative, not even the final. I'm just doing snapshots. Just kind of seeing, okay, you have to learn something. Are you learning it? Because I understand, first and foremost, none of you have had me before, and 2, that this stuff is kind of complicated, none of the exams, until we get to the end, will crush your average. Each of the first 3 are worth 15%. So, at most, by the time we get to November, no, sorry, this is the spring, not the fall. By the time we get to, say, the beginning of April, only 45% of your final grade is determined. And we've already covered 3/4 of the stuff. The final exam is just the 4th exam. It's whatever we do at the very end of the semester. But I've been teaching for a long time. I've been teaching longer than probably most of you have been alive. Anyone born before 1996?
Yes.
Okay, so 1 person is older than the years I've been teaching. So the 1 thing I've learned in all those years and all those students and all those classes is that good students, even if they have a hard time, figure it out by the time we get to the end. Meaning, you know what to do. You've kind of figured Lemanic out. You can kind of see the little tricks and tools that he uses. And it's very rare that a student does worse on the final than they do the 3 exams that come before it. So if most students do better on the last test, why not make it worth the most points? It's not going to be any longer. It's just my little kind of kick in your pants to help get you over the finish line. The other percent, 20% of your grade, is paper. Not a long paper, not a killer paper. And the best part about the paper is you get to pick what you want to write about. As long as it's something to deal with government, politics, laws, constitution, whatever. Something dealing with government, you pick your topic, write a good paper, not that long. At most, it will be 6 to 8 pages. Send it to me. 20% of your grade. I'm assuming all of you can write. Because if you couldn't write, you wouldn't be here. They kind of usually don't let you out of high school and let you into college unless you can write. We'll talk more about the paper as we go forward. All right, so 45%, another 35%, and then 20%. There's 100% of your grade. That's the baseline. But I also do my best to provide ample extra credit. I will give you pop quizzes like I gave you today. They are not punitive. They're just extra credit. So if you miss a couple, no big deal. If you bomb a couple, no big deal. A 0 of extra credit impacts your average 0%. I may also give you homework assignments. I'm very, very politically attuned, so I may give you a chance to, like, well, we're not going to get a State of the Union address this year because Trump is in his first year, his first couple of weeks of his second term. So what I think he's going to do is I think he's going to go speak before a joint session of Congress. I think I remember reading that. So if that occurs, I may do something like watch it, write 2 pages on it. I won't grade you on grammar, I won't grade you on spelling. Tell me what you thought. Was there something he said that you were happy with, something you said he said that he was angry with? You know, however you want to write it, that's fine. Just a reflection. I may also, if you're struggling, may give you a chance to read the newspaper. You know, kind of do the same thing. Do a deep dive. Find a news story that's of interest. Oh, and speaking of news, I have no problem at the beginning of every single class. If there's something happening that you're curious about, we can talk about it at the beginning of class. I got no problem with that.
But I promise I will try to give you as sufficient opportunities as I can that even if you're not the best student, you should be able to pass the class. Because here's where the cold lawyer comes in. And it's going to sound harmless. And I don't mean it to sound harmless. Just being base. Whether you get an A or an F doesn't affect me. It's the same process for me. Take my little mouse, I go into the grade section, I hit a little slide bar, start at the A and slide it down. Okay, if it's an F, I gotta go a little further, a little more finger effort. But that's it. But your grade will impact you. So, the harder you work, I will do what I can to make sure you pass. Because you're here, you're giving me time, you are giving me your effort. And if you're struggling, I'll give you extra credit. And by the way, there have been some semesters where I had students who had grades in the teens, and they still managed to eke by. Because I saw them come to class. I saw that they hear them, saw they were trying, and I kept giving them, okay, try this, let's try this. I'll work with you. All right. Oh, here's a good way to earn extra credit or lose points. Attendance policy. College in your handbook requires you come to class. Class is not optional. Part of the class. You are expected to come to class. And of course, we meet twice a week, and we'll meet twice a week for the next 15 odd weeks, which means we'll have 20 something, maybe 30 class sessions. And I want you to be here all the time. But you're a commuter school, and some of you are probably older than others. So you may have jobs, you may have families, you may have other responsibilities. Put it another way, I understand. Life happens, shit happens. So, while I want you to be here every single class, I will allow you to miss up to 2 weeks worth of classes. You don't have to send me an email saying, Professor, I got a tummy ache. Doesn't matter. I'm going to treat you like an adult, like if you were my employee. I give you sick days. You can use them as you need. But college also requires that I have a penalty as well for too much absenteeism. So, beginning with absence number 5, a penalty will be imposed on your final average. 3 points for every absence over 5 or more. Ending with... No, I gotta update that. That's not right. I screwed that up. It should be, pretty sure it's 10.
If you have 10 absences, that's when you get an automatic F.
Because, by the way, if you miss 10, that's like a third of the semester. If you're missing a third of classes, you're probably failing anyways. But you will fail the class if you miss too much. What about excused absences? Well, I'm giving you absences. Why do I need to excuse absences? I tend not to excuse absences unless we've got a couple of things going on. One, something happens that's 100% out of your control. You got a summons to go to court. You got jury duty. You're a member of a sports team. I know the baseball team, for example, goes down spring break. That you're on the team, you got to go. You don't have a choice. Work-related. Your boss changed your shift on you. Something that is completely out of control beyond just the tummy ache. Send me an email in advance, and I'll work with you. All right? Don't abuse it, though. Don't abuse it. If you're blowing me off, don't send me, like, a horror story, my grandma died. Because I've heard it all. In fact, I had one young lady that one semester, she had, it was 7 grandmas died. Because I do keep track of the stuff. And it was the horrible deaths, too. It wasn't like just like she had a heart attack and died. Like, one of which, she like ate food and she died of dysentery. And it's like, wow, man, what an awful family. But, yeah, I had to let her know, like, yeah, I see what you're doing. And it's just not going to work. All right. What happens if you come every single class? Well, I will give you bonus points. If you have perfect attendance,
you will get at minimum 3 points. But at most, well, it depends. Lemanic has a sick, twisted sense of humor. And by the way, just to warn you, there is nothing that can come out of your mouth that will offend me. I have the thickest skin out of anybody you've ever met, and I have a wicked sense of humor. I can laugh at just about anything. Because I grew up in the 70s. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield, George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Sam Kinison. That's the kind of stuff I listen to. And I just laugh and laugh and laugh. So, here's proof. The number of extra credit points for perfect attendance will increase the less numbers of people get extra credit. I mean, have perfect attendance. So if everybody in the class gets perfect attendance, I'll do 3 points. But as that number diminishes, the points will go up. How much will I go? Well, it depends on what I got going on in my other classes as well. So one semester, I had 5 classes. And 3 here, 2 here, 3 over there. 150-odd students. And one student out of all of those students made it to the end with perfect attendance. I gave him 20 points. Why? Because I can. So, will that happen? Don't know. But if I end up with one out of everybody, you never know. But if it's just one amongst the group, it could be up to 10 points. But here's the interesting twist. The other thing I've noticed is usually the people who get the perfect attendance points don't need the points, but I'll give them to them anyways. So it's possible to end the class with an average above 100. So go for it. And by the way, if it gets down neck and neck and there's 2 or 3 of you, if I mention the name Tanya Harding, do you know what I'm referencing? Yeah. Take him out of the knee.
All right. Parties, if you come late, I'm not going to penalize you. I get it. There's probably going to be days that I'm walking in a few minutes late. All of us have to drive here because there are no dorms.
So if you get stuck in traffic, just come to class. Even if you're 20 minutes late, I don't care. I'd rather have you miss the first 20 minutes of class than miss the whole class. I will never yell at you for being late. I'd be a hypocrite because I get it. You have no control over any road that you are driving on.
So if something happens and you're running late, just come to class. But be warned, if you come to class with like a donut, I may say, where's mine?
All right. Questions on the attendance policy. By the way, what I just outlined for you is the core of my syllabus. The only thing that's not on there is all the stuff that you see on all your professors, all of the stuff that's mandated by the college.
So if I'm missing something that's not there, it's you'll probably see it on another one. Yes.
So a question just to clarify, right?
Sure.
You're not posting on Blackboard. You're posting everything we need to know on this website right here.
What will be on Ultra is that's where you'll submit your paper. That's where you'll take your exams. That's how, if I got to send a class notice, I'll communicate with.
Okay.
But there's nothing up there yet.
Okay.
Because, like I said, a couple of days ago, I didn't think we were having a class.
So we need syllabus-wise relations, we go to this website right here and find out the outline of what's going on.
Yep, okay. Right there.
Thank you for asking. Other questions?
Since you do like law school and stuff, in your free time, do you take up like people's cases?
Wait, what? Free time?
And if you have
free time? No, I actually do real estate law. Because I can't litigate, I can't go to court. Because I have to be in class.
And I've never come across a judge that said,
oh, okay, Attorney Lemanic, you don't have to come and present a motion today because you have class. You know, it doesn't really work that way.
So, I don't do that. And there's also, even though legal ethics are kind of skeevy in terms of like moral ethics,
there's really a conflict of interest if I was ever to consider representing a student. Because we have a teacher-student relation. But if you have a question,
I don't know. I was talking about in general. If you like take on other people's like cases, if you see any like interesting ones, you're like, hey, I want to do this one.
I have litigated. and I have a 100% success track record. But I just don't do it often.
Well, don't bug out. I'm only going to take the cases that I know I'm going to win. All right. What?
Yeah, 100%. That's the hardest thing. And you know, like I said, legally, ethics is skeevy. Side note story. So I got a buddy that's actually a criminal defense lawyer. And I'll be completely honest and sincere. He has a lot of emotional issues. And at times he is excessive in the drink. Borderline alcoholism. Because it does impact you. But he told me a story a few years back when he was representing a client, got arrested, suspected of a shooting. There was not a murder. The person he shot didn't die. Allegedly, the victim did not die, but suffered severe bodily harm, partial paralysis for the rest of their lives. Cops had tons of evidence. The one thing they did not have was the murder weapon. All right? So one day, my buddy's in his office, and the client comes in, it's around Christmas time, and says, look, I'm probably going to jail, but I have a Christmas present for my kids. Can you do me a favor and hold on to it? And if I do go to jail, can you deliver it to my kids? Okay? Fine. Lawyer. Client privilege, takes it unquestionably, puts it in his safe, locks it up. Goes to trial, cops can't find the gun. He's acquitted. Client goes back to the lawyer's office after the trial's over. I'll take the present now. And on his way out, what does he do?
That's why I'm not a criminal defense lawyer.
Smart thinking.
Sharp friend.
No. No. He had the present, and he did one of these.
Oh.
He's looking at you, kid. All right. So, I'm going to bludgeon you with PowerPoint. I'm going to do that for two reasons. One, it helps give you information in an organized fashion. And two, it keeps me on track because we do got to cover a lot of stuff. But sitting there and writing off a screen is monotonous. I get it. But it's either that or I'm going to write it on the board. And you don't, when you see my handwriting, you'll understand why I do PowerPoint. But because I do it, I give you in advance everything you're going to see on screen. At the bottom of your class page are outlines that literally in an outline form has all the information I'm going to present to you on PowerPoints. So, students do this sometimes. Instead of coming to class and just writing off what's on the screen, they download these, they print these out, bring them to class, and fill in the blanks. Because guess what? On the exam, I am not going to ask you ever, what is defined? So if you only write what you're screen down and you're going to go study and you're going to look, Lemanic said something about defined. Defined what? But in class, I will explain what I'm talking about. So you'll have opportunity to write that down. So basically, I'm giving you half the notes. And I'm also giving you predictability. Because look at what we're going to talk about. We're going to start off on Wednesday talking about, in general, what's government. And then we're going to narrow it down and we're going to expand our understanding. But it's all there. Every single PowerPoint, I convert it to an outline and I put it on the web space. So there's never an excuse of not knowing what we're doing. Because even if you miss class, you can open up the outlines as you're listening along to the recording. Let me take notes. Questions. All right. That being the case, I'm going to give you a homework assignment.
that's multifaceted. The first part, obviously, is that when you go home, before you see me again, go on my website, go through it, look at the stuff that's relevant to you, look at the paper section, see if there's anything on there you have any questions about. And if you do, can you explain this to me? Ask. Because if you have a question, there's a chance that someone else in class also has a similar question. So never be afraid to ask. Assignment number two, well, part of. Get the book, get it on your computer or your device, read through chapter one. Doesn't have to be due by Wednesday, but if you could get through it, chapters aren't that long. It will be helpful because you'll hear, so I don't teach out of the book, but the book works with what I teach. So you'll hear common themes. It'll make life a little easier. So website, book, and lastly, last part of the homework, pay attention to the news. And if something catches your eye, bring it to the beginning of class. We'll talk about it. Yes?
What's the name of the book again?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's like, What is Government? American Government, right there. Text. Right there.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? All right, we'll get the heck out. See you all on Wednesday. Thank you, by the way.
Thank you, Mark.